Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is July 24th, 2014, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and I just want to let you know that we're having a thunderstorm. So if you hear claps of thunder or if I suddenly disappear, just hold on because the studio will call me back on my cell phone and we'll continue the show. Don't go away if I get disconnected. We're going to have a very important show today. Well, all my shows are important. This one is very, very important to your health, and it's something that hasn't been talked about much yet in other places. And a few weeks ago, I had a guest on who is the author of a book called Missing Microbes. And we talked about how antibiotics and antibacterial products like triclosan are damaging the what's called the microbiome. We're going to talk about that again during the show. But it's the little microorganisms that are doing lots of work in our bodies. And after that show, I got really interested in how we might replace those missing microbes, especially in our guts. And so I talked with my healthcare provider, and he said, that he had heard of this, and that actually doing things like just eating yogurt doesn't do it, and just taking a probiotic doesn't do it, because we're missing so many natural microorganisms that to just take a probiotic that has a few strains in it, or yogurt, which has even less, doesn't replace the broad spectrum. And so he gave me another probiotic that had a bigger spectrum, but that I thought, remember, you know, he's a healthcare professional, and so his orientation is to give me a standardized product. But I thought, you know, there must be some natural way to do this, that as our bodies are part of nature, and nature must have those microorganisms out there, how do we get them in our bodies? And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to restore this ecosystem in our guts, this garden in our guts that is actually the same garden that's out there in the world. I asked my friend Diane Dirks, permaculturist, who's been on the show before, if she would come on and talk with us about the best way to get microorganisms into our body, how to get them straight from nature. But also we're going to talk about the importance of microorganisms in the soil growing our food and how that relates to the garden that's growing in our guts. Anyway, it'll all make sense. Just listen. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Deb. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, it's okay. Fun.
So first, let's just tell us, what's the microbiome?
Okay. It actually is made up of microorganisms that are separate from our own cellular structure, but which line many of our body systems. There's five areas that it does, but the primary one is in our colon and parts of our upper intestine. And it's defined as the collection of microbes, bacteria, viruses, and single, eukaryotes. That's something I'm not used to saying, but those are organisms and cells that possess a membrane-bound structure, like an enclosed structure, called a nucleus that contains the genetic material, like the DNA, that inhabits the human body. So they're not the same cells as our body. They're individual creatures that inhabit our body. And microbes in a healthy human adult are estimated to outnumber human cells by a ratio of 10 to 1. And the total number of genes, you know, like cellular genetic material in the microbiome, exceeds the number of genes in the human genome by a factor of at least 200.
So there's a lot more of them than there is of us.
Yes, and many more kinds, at least 200 times as many kinds.
Wow.
So even though microbial cells are only 1/10 to 1/100th the size of a human cell, they may account for up to 5 pounds of human body weight. And this comes from a resource called Baylor College of Medicine. The microbiome forms a coating inside the gut and mucous membranes like the nostrils and other areas of the body that are essential to life. There are literally thousands of kinds of these microbial microbes. Only a small fraction of them have been identified, but the same ones that have been identified are also found in healthy soil. It is now considered by scientists as being a separate organ of the body, not made up of our own cells, and comprising about 2% of the total mass of our bodies, found in skin, mouth, nose, colon, and in women, vagina. We are finding that it has as much importance than previously thought, because it's influencing how an individual may respond or be influenced by certain infectious diseases, or contribute to certain chronic diseases of the gastrointestinal tract, such as Crohn's disease and inflammatory bowel syndrome, obesity, diabetes, and others. And research is using microbiome transplants of healthy, good bacteria into the body of people suffering from certain diseases to establish a more healthful bacterial population. But everyone has a personal custom population of these microbes, so no two people are exactly alike, kind of like a fingerprint. There is a surprising degree of diversity, even from one part of the body to another. So we never knew this. I mean, this is a breaking new area of science.
Until I interviewed the author of Missing Microbes, I really didn't know about the importance of this. I knew that I had flora and fauna in my gut, but I thought what it was doing was digesting food and not all these other things. And I'm starting to read about it, and it's so interesting. It's so vital that and it's so delicate as well, that it's so easy to destroy these microorganisms by toxic chemicals that we're exposed to every day. So what is the importance of the microbes in the body?
They do many things. First of all, 85% of your immune system is in your gut. And so it has an immune function. It's also detoxifying, because those little microorganisms actually break down toxic substances as they move through the body, if they're in balance. It helps digest food, because it breaks down, it kind of ferments ferments food in our gut and actually breaks it down so our own cells can absorb it. It produces certain vitamins that, you have to produce yourself. And it protects us against disease-causing bacteria, like that.
So if we don't have these microorganisms, these microbes to help us, then they're not there. Let's see. I think I was reading that it's something like 80%. 80% is good bacteria, and only 20% is the bad bacteria. And
when
so,
it's in balance, that's right.
Yeah. But if we destroy microorganisms through our use of toxic chemicals and drinking chlorinated water and things like that, if we do that, then it disrupts the balance and making it easier for those bad bacteria to cause illness. Yes?
That's right. That's sort of like what happens when you just go ahead and spray all the bugs in your yard.
Right.
It kills the good ones that eat the bad ones, and then the bad ones take over.
That's a very good analogy. Okay, so are microorganisms the same thing as germs?
Well, germs are the pathogenic, in other words, disease-causing ones. They're the bacteria, virus, and funguses that are bad for us. And in a healthy system, there's always some of these, but they are balanced out by the good ones, and the good ones keep the bad ones in check if it's in balance. If you should go and kill all of them, then the ones that come back fastest are the pathogenic, germy ones.
And I think that the beneficial microbes, they work with our body in a symbiotic fashion, right?
Well, right. That's why they're considering the microbiome, which is a collection of all those symbiotic ones, as their own organ now.
Because it's as necessary to our bodies as our stomachs and our hearts and our lungs and all those other organs. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to find out more about the microbiome in our bodies. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks. She has a website, thegardenladyofga.wordpress.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks. We're talking about the garden in your gut, how your immune system in your gut and soil, healthy immune system and healthy soil have some things in common. And we're going to start talking about what they have in common. So Diane, is there a relationship between having healthy soil and the health of our bodies?
Well, the thing is, the gut microbes that we were talking about, the beneficial ones, are the same as the ones in the soil. And we get those microbes from eating good food that has it in there, like especially organic produced food. It has coatings of that stuff on it. And when you eat it and you don't cook it too much, those microbes go in your gut and recharge your gut. And we're killing them off, those gut microbes, by taking antibiotics and eating food that has a lot of antibiotics, and especially beef and some things that are produced with antibiotics all the time. We have to continue to recharge them. And the way we do that, one of the best ways, is to eat organic produced food because it has it on there. But the thing is, if our food is grown in healthy soil and those microbes are on there, there's a diversity in the soil that's very similar to the optimum diversity in our guts, depending on, of course, how the soil's been treated, just like how our bodies have been treated. And the food itself that is grown with these high diversity of microorganisms in the soil have a much higher nutrient value because those nutrients are being produced by the microorganisms in the soil. And so there is a difference between dirt and soil. And that's one of the things that we need to talk about because...
Yeah, let's talk about that because, you know, I was actually listening to a podcast the other day that you had recommended. And it was really, really clear to me that there's a live soil. And I'm going to let you explain that. And then there's... just like dirt. And if you think about it, the dirt that is not alive is a lot of our farmland is in that condition. And so where you have all these teeming microorganisms in a lot of, it's like most of our produce that isn't organic is just kind of stuck in the ground that isn't living soil and fed chemicals. And that's the food that we're eating. And so would you talk about like how very different that food is grown in that kind of soil and with the living soil?
Well, first of all, let me describe the difference between living soil and dead soil because that's very important.
Yeah.
There is the same kind of thing that's happening with our soil that's been happening with our gut microbes being killed off by antibiotics, and that's being done through farming practices using chemicals which do the same thing that antibiotics do to our gut. And so we are facing a crisis in our food right now and in our gardening and farming soil where we're killing off our microorganisms and then having to replace them more and more even to get food to grow that has some nutritional value. I mean, basically, the percentage of nutrition that comes from something that has a live a body of microorganisms is entirely different. It's almost like it's non-food. It looks good, but the thing is, your body requires a certain percentage of and a certain number of very trace minerals and things. And I won't go into the biology of it, but just say that there is a communication within the body and the cells are being, there's an emission of information that comes through electronically through your body, and if those little bits of trace minerals aren't attached to the cell structure, they don't get the message, and so they can't do the job. And so you get aging, you get degrading problems, you know, degradation type diseases in our society that are exactly related to what's happening in the microbes of the soil and in our health. They're exactly parallel. So if you have a society where you're killing off your soil, you're also killing off your people, unfortunately, slowly. So the quality of and the diversity of the microbes in the soil and the quality and diversity of the microbes in your gut are parallel. And so if you're growing food yourself, you want to increase the number and diversity of the microbes in your soil so that you have that in your health. It's directly related. So dirt is just unliving soil. It's just unliving, you know, it looks like soil. It may have some color to it that looks like soil. But if it doesn't have these living organisms in there, the processes by which food in the soil is made available to the roots isn't there.
Yes.
In fact, nothing worth growing or able to grow can do so, especially without the fungi in the soil, because that's the transport of all the information and also the nutrients within the soil. It's just amazing the relationship.
It's so interesting. It really is so interesting. And you know, if you think about it, if you were out in nature and you were just eating foods, you know, you pull up a carrot out of the ground or, you know, I'm thinking about the caveman days. They probably didn't have carrots. But they were probably, you know, rustling around and finding whatever their local roots were and picking berries and all these things and probably not washing their hands with antimicrobial soap. And, you know, that it's like nature just designed it that there should probably be some little residues of soil attached to the food. And they're probably, you know, getting into their mouth with the food. And and then it keeps getting repopulated. Our bodies keep getting repopulated. But what we do is that we wash our hands and we use antimicrobial soap and we use special hand cleaners. And we're just so, and we spray germ killers all over the place that don't know the difference between the good germs and the bad germs. And then pretty soon we have no microorganisms to repopulate our guts. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And my guest today is permaculturist Diane Dirks. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks. She's a permaculture designer and all kinds of things. She does so many things and very knowledgeable, excellent researcher. I'm just always glad to talk to her and have her on the show. So we're talking about the microorganisms, the microbiome in our body that performs all kinds of functions for us and how our use of toxic chemicals has destroyed that. But we're also, you know, I'll just pass along that when I interviewed the author of Missing Microbes, he told us that we've lost approximately 30%, and they're actually doing tests in a huge amount of populations of people where they're testing to find out what is exactly in our guts. And they found a 30% loss in industrialized countries over people that are living in non-industrialized places where they're actually in touch with nature and exposed to those microorganisms on a regular basis. So, Diane, what causes the soil to die?
Well, it's being chemicalized. You know, we have this mechanical viewpoint of life that everything has to be the same size and shape and everything else. Life isn't like that. But when you've killed off the microbes in your soil, now you have to resort to chemicals because plants are funny. They're just like people in that, and this is one of the parallels, is that nature has given us pathogens to knock out the weak, so only the strong survive. That's true in people, animals, and the soil. So you see plants that are covered with bugs, that's nature trying to knock out the weak ones, and they get weak because they don't have the microbes. So more and more the chemicals keep being used as a solution to the bad soil and the fact that the plants are weak and getting all these bugs and fungus and stuff attached to them and killing them off. But the truth of the matter is that it is the fungicides, the herbicides like Roundup found in genetic modified, you know, GMOs, and also things like severe drought and overworking the soil and not providing enough mm-hmm. organic matter to keep the worms and the beneficial insects and stuff alive, because it's a web of life. They all interrelate, all these things. And when you break the chain, when you break the balance, how it all supposed to fit together by nature's rules, then you start getting holes in the whole process, and now nature's having to solve it, and, you know, they don't necessarily have all the solutions, so you get diseases in the plants, and you get diseases in people that are exactly parallel. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense to me. It's been many years since I realized that we basically live in this industrial sphere that is actually embedded in this much larger natural world. And yet we have so little awareness of the natural world and our connections, our interconnections to it, and how much we really depend on it, that if you really stop and think about it, that, you know, we could go to the store and buy all the products we want, but unless we had sunshine and rain and the soil and all the parts of nature that are bringing all the raw materials to make those products out of, we wouldn't be able to live. But most people don't have that level of awareness. And so it always fascinates me, because I've been reading this kind of stuff for 25 years at least. And it always fascinates me to see the interconnections between us as human beings and the environment, and how many gifts the environment is giving us. Yes, please.
I want to tell you that we live in a web of life.
We do.
And it's, you know, it's on this, it's a skin on the planet, and it's a web of life. And it's, you know, we have so much space above us, that's the atmosphere, and so much space below us, that's the ecosphere. I think of it as an ecosphere. It's alive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we are part of that. And we've become so inured to nature. We've been so separated out from it, because it has solved a lot of problems for us over the years, that we forget we're part of that web. And somehow we think that we're not part of it, and we don't respect it, and we think that chemicals and man-made solutions are going to make everything work. But we're finding more and more the dependency we have on nature, and when we start killing it off, we're affecting our whole society, and that's what's happening.
Well, what are the implications to society of doing this?
Well, there's this guy named Dr. William Albright, who was a soil scientist 100 years ago, and he said the health of a society is directly related to the health of its soil. And it has to do with this interdependency of life, this food web, which reaches out to all living things and gives them viability, life or not. And if you make a degenerate soil, almost immediately you will find degenerative diseases will be rampant in that society. Yeah, it is. It's scary, but it's true. And as the health of the soil declines, there will be a corresponding decline in the health of society being fed by it. And poor soil makes poor quality food, giving poor health and vibrancy. And most of our serious diseases come from the inflammation related to the gut flora, which relates to the soil flora. They're all interrelated. So if you don't have healthy guts, you don't have healthy humans. And soil flora, which is the organisms in the soil, create the structure of the soil, which then supports the food which we eat. And if it's good, the food supports human and animal life. And if it's poor, even if it's in sufficient quantity, this is one thing people don't realize, bodies need certain nutrients which aren't delivered and break down the body systems eventually, which is what I was talking about in regards to the micronutrients, especially the trace minerals. Because without those trace minerals, our bodies aren't getting the signals they need to function, and so they start to break down. So, like it or not, a society moves on its belly, and we are interconnected directly to what that food grows in. So, when the soil is dying or dead, so are we seeing degenerating problems with people. You know, like all these degenerative diseases, and lot more autism, and you know, obesity, and all these things where people are just not surviving well. So give people high-quality nutrients, that's food that's that taste better and less toxic, and you will find people start to wake up and do better.
I've certainly found that in myself, that even though I've had a lot of attention on toxic chemicals in my life because of my exposure and how I got sick from them so many years ago. And so I'm very conscious about that. But I also, you know, I kind of got on the bandwagon at a certain point and thought, oh, all I need to do is eliminate toxic chemicals and that's it. I'll be healthy. But that's only like eliminating, you know, the attack. And so once you're not being attacked anymore by destructive forces, then you still need to have the regenerative part of nutrition. And we have most people in the world today are poorly nourished and they're being attacked by toxic chemicals. And I think it's the combination of those two that we need to be concerned about. We need to take a break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is permaculturist Diane Dirks. And we'll be right back to talk about more about now what we can do to restore our microbiomes. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks, permaculture designer and multifaceted, wonderful woman. So, Diane, where does the microbiome come from?
Well, initially, it comes from being born vaginally by a mom, because you're supposed to get that whole coating of her biome as it moves through, because the vagina is one of the places, one of the five places where this biome, microbiome lives. And then you should be getting it from your food, raw pasture-fed milk from cows, goats, or sheep, raw milk products like kefir, yogurt, or cheeses, eating fermented foods, because up until 100 years ago, I'd say probably 50% of our food was preserved through fermentation, you know?
And, yes, it was. And, you know, I was thinking, you mentioned about raw pasture-fed milk. I was thinking that last night, actually, that until there was pasteurization, which kills all the microorganisms,
Good and bad.
And we were drinking raw milk directly from the cows that was full of microorganisms. That's why they pasteurize milk, is to kill the microorganisms. And so we're just not getting microorganisms like we used to.
That's right. There are many other sources too. But there are some that we can create ourselves. You know, like we talked about kombucha tea and water kefir. We did those two shows. And yogurts, especially if they're not pasteurized, because if anything's pasteurized, forget it, that's killed. Fermented vegetables and probiotics. Although I must say, commercial probiotics usually are just a few different strains. They're really not enough of a biodiversity to totally take care of the situation.
Well,
but here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, here's the thing. You know, you can add and put in and foster all these microorganisms in your body. But if you don't feed them, it's like getting a puppy and not giving it food and water. It has to have, you have to change your diet sufficiently to give those microorganisms a chance and give them food source. And the thing about what most people don't realize is that comes through fermented vegetables and fiber. And there are three kinds of fiber. I didn't know this, but there are three kinds of fiber that your body needs, and they come from different types of food. So you've got your resistant starch, like bananas, oats, beans. Then you've got soluble fiber, like onions, root vegetables, and nuts. And then you have insoluble fiber, like whole grains, especially bran and avocados. And then this comes through complex carbohydrates, fermentable plant fibers, and they all nourish the gut and help that gut barrier, which is that coating, and then it helps prevent inflammation. And how this works together with everything else with your health is, I would say the largest percentage of our really nasty diseases that we have now are caused from inflammation. And these are being linked to things like diabetes and cancer and all kinds of stuff. It's from inflammation. And when we kill off our gut microbe, it doesn't have sufficient biodiversity, then the body can't protect us from those things. And so we get inflammation and we get all kinds of breaking down kind of diseases, which I was talking about earlier, where, you know, you just don't have enough, you don't have sufficient strength in your body to fight these things off. And then the pathogenic, disease-causing things move in because they're just doing their job. Nature's saying, yeah, this is a weak organism. We need to clear this away so we have room for the healthy ones. And, you know, we have to use the chemicals and the prescriptions and all that other stuff, which all have side effects, instead of just being healthy, instead of just going right to the source and really recreating and recharging our gut microbe.
You know, I
so
was
that's how it is.
Yeah, yesterday I spent actually most of the day yesterday researching this, preparing for the show, and I read this about the different types of fibers that we need in order to feed the whole diversity of microorganisms in our gut. And afterwards, I was thinking about what to have for dinner, and I had a salad with avocado on it. You know, I had these greens and tomatoes and things. And I was just really thinking about feeding my little microorganisms, you know?
Like, here, puppy, have a cookie.
I really became aware of, like, that I was nurturing them and that like I was growing them like a child or a pet or a garden or something, and that I wanted to give them what they wanted to eat, that really made an impression on me, to not just be thinking about that I could just put anything in my mouth and have it go down into my guts, but to just really be aware that what I have there in my intestines is an environment, an ecosystem in which living things are living. And they're dependent on me to feed them the right things and create the right environment for them in order to live. I mean, our bodies to them are like the larger environment is to us. And what if Mother Nature were just pouring all these toxic chemicals on us and not taking, you know, sugar and chlorine and all these things? It would be really hard for us to survive.
Well, we wouldn't. And that's the point that doctor was talking about, that I was talking about, Dr. William Albright. He was saying that our society is actually in big trouble because of the state of our soil. And being an agricultural consultant is one of the things I do. I will tell you that the farmers are losing vast amounts just from erosion, from the amount of soil they have, but the quality of the soil is just horrible. My husband's family are Iowa farmers, and they're just they each year have to pour more and more chemicals even to get a product, and they're getting crop failures because they're doing the opposite of what they need to do to rebuild the soil. And that's why I love permaculture so much, because permaculture actually restores the soil. It actually brings life back to and can convert completely ruined soil back to life. But I'll tell you, it takes a lot of work. Why not just get it before you kill it, you know?
Stop the bad practices. When I used to live in California, I had quite an extensive organic garden. And since I moved to Florida, it's been hard for me to get into the rhythm of Florida weather and the growing and what to grow and the sandy soil and all this. And I've been, I made some raised beds, and I'm not growing anything in them right now. I have in the past, but right now I'm just throwing all the organic matter into my raised beds that I can get my hands on, you know, all my, you know, kitchen waste and any leaves I can find. And I'm just nurturing that soil. I'm just wanting to get that soil going so that when I'm ready to grow something in it, then I have some luscious soil to grow in.
Well, you know, I will tell you that there is some discussion now amongst permaculturists and other people in this field that are trying to put life back into the soil. And, you know, people come to me and say, well, I just have this little bitty garden. What's the difference, you know, if I spray it with Roundup or I try and go the full organic methods and stuff, and I'm saying, that little patch that you have in the backyard that's by 8x10 or something, it may be in your neighborhood the last bit of true soil in your whole area. It's like we have to work on this, or we're going to lose it. You know, our lives depend on this, and we're being so cavalier about how we look at the soil. And we don't realize that it has very long-term implications to our survival. So, you know, and besides that, I love the soil. It's like I see the life in it, you know. I just have this affinity for it. And, you know, I go out and I sing to my plants. And, you know, my neighbors Great. Probably think I'm crazy, but boy, can I grow the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing I just want to mention about building soil is I have someone come and cut my lawn for me, and I have some weeds growing around, and he brought his weed whacker, and he asked me if I wanted him to take the weeds away after he whacked them. I said, oh, no, just leave them there on the soil. And he was so impressed that I knew that the function of weeds is to pull up things from deep down in the ground, the minerals and things, and then have them in the plants, and then the plant dies, and it spreads those nutrients on the top of the soil. And so I'm just having a great time nourishing my soil by just laying the weeds on top and letting them break down. And, you know, there's so much that we could do that is so natural. I don't have to spend a cent to get that. Mother Nature is doing that for me. And,
that's right.
And all these materials are available, and I see all my neighbors are putting their weeds and their leaves in green plastic bags and putting them out by the curb. I'm going, no, bring them over here.
And then they're hiring True Green or some big company to come and spray for them. And I'm going, no.
Yeah.
When you do that, I mean, I don't mean to put anybody out of a job, but people are solving their problems, you know, without knowledge. And when you do that, you make a lot of mistakes, because the nature is desperately trying to solve this problem, and we're you know, busily undoing everything nature's doing just because we don't understand how the system works.
That's exactly,
you know,
right. Yeah.
That's why I'm so intent upon, you know, spending time doing these shows and stuff, because I want people to know that the best thing they can do is grow their own food. Even if it's only a little bit, you know, that little salad that you ate, if you could grow that out of your garden, you just put maybe 15 kinds of microorganisms into your system that
Diane,
might otherwise not have been.
Yes, Diane, I have to interrupt you
in.
Because the music is going to come on in a second.
Oh.
So thank you so much. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're going to have Diane on again. Be well.